I'm just going to get right on into the word. Are you ready for it? Hallelujah. I hope so. Get ready to get it. And the Lord was, of course, speaking to me too. And how many of you are sensing more clarity when you fast and you pray? Amen? Anybody with me? You just get more clarity. And I had so much clarity that I had a word, I thought. And then about Thursday, the Lord changed my word. And he does that a lot. And so, therefore, I have several words in here you've never heard. No. One day God will let me release it. But I kept hearing the Lord say some very... I want to share with you at the very beginning today some very familiar passages. And I really believe this is the word of the Lord for us for right now. Everybody say for right now. Or you can say it like Esther, for a time such as this, right? And I kept hearing the Lord say, what is the promise of God? Anytime we repent and return, is there will be times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord, right? That word times is plural, meaning not just a one-time experience, but times, plural, of refreshing in the presence of the Lord, obviously in the Holy Spirit of the Most High God. I also got a word, and it was in a prayer. I don't know, was it probably on Wednesday night or something? We were praying, and the Lord gave me a word. We were talking about the cloud that entered the temple, you know, and the Lord told me, he said, oh, you're in the new covenant. I'm going to bring a tsunami. Remember that? And we got to talking about, well, what would that look like and what would that mean? And I started picturing our chairs flowing out the door and, you know. But anybody ready for a tsunami of the Spirit of God? Amen? Something new. I mean, here's what I keep hearing the Lord tell me that we need to be telling this generation. Everybody hear my heart. True Christianity is not Christianity without the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I love the word. You're going to get the word today. But I'm telling you, it's not Christianity without the Holy Spirit. It's just another religion. And we need the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, come on, y'all finish it. There is liberty or freedom. Amen? In the Holy Spirit. I want to just share some things with you about that. And I really believe the Lord wants to activate us today. Already, he's already been filling us. So, I mean, it's going to be easy. But when John the Baptist spoke of Jesus coming, if you remember, he said, he's coming who's mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. You remember what he said? He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen? And so John introduces this whole concept that Jesus, yes, he came as the Lamb of God for the sins of the whole world, but he also came to, there's a little bit of roar, Rick. It may be just a little bit. He also came and, not the roar of the Holy Ghost either. Man, I could just segue right into that, right? But he also came not only for our sins, but he came to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen? And so it's very important to understand that. Now, Jesus described the Holy Spirit also, as we know, as the helper, the comforter, right? He who has come to lead us and guide us into all of the truth and even show us what is to come. Amen? So we see the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And then he said to his disciples, he said, he's been with you, but he's going to be in you. Okay, and I'm just reminding you of things. You know these verses. But as Jesus was saying that, and he's reminding his disciples as he's getting ready to ascend into heaven, he says to his disciples, he says, wait here until you've received the promised Holy Spirit, right? Because when you do that, you're going to receive power so that you may be my witness. Anybody want that power? To be his witnesses in all of the earth. And then when, of course, the outpouring takes place, as we know, at Pentecost, Peter stands up and begins to preach. There's such conviction on many that were there, at least 3,000 that we know. They cried out to Peter, said, Lord, what must we do? Brothers, what must we do? And Peter said clearly to them, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and what else? And you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Because he said this, he said, the promise of the Holy Spirit, this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. So even today, nearly 2,000 years later, the promise is still to any whom the Lord God would call to himself. He wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? And it's so important for us to understand that. And if you look in the book of Acts, when they would come upon a group of believers, they would ask them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Paul wrote in his letters, he said, do not get drunk with wine, right? For this is a dissipation. It's a waste of time. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and how many of you know we've been filled with the Holy Spirit today, singing unto the Lord? Amen? But again, Paul wrote this when he closed out his the second letter to Corinthians. Paul wrote, he said, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with you all. Notice that. The grace and love, we all know that, right? But the fellowship is with the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to just remind you of these. I could name many, many dozens of more passages. But one thing is clear. Us receiving and being filled with and being led by and being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit is not optional. Amen? It's not optional for the believer. Hallelujah. We're not merely to be a student of a book, but we're to be in a relationship with God, even through the book, by the Holy Spirit. Amen? For the Holy Spirit wrote the book. Hallelujah. He inspired the men who wrote it. So I wanted to emphasize that to you today. Now, here we are. We're coming in on the final week of the fast. And I do encourage you, because even Daniel did not say 21 days. That's when the angel showed up. So if you want to keep going and keep seeking God, go for it in the name of Jesus. I mean, keep pressing into God. Don't just say, well, it's over now. I'm going to go back and be carnal. Amen. Let's don't do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look with me. I want to start with another. You might say you're starting with a scripture. I've already given you a bunch of scriptures, but we're going to look at this one together. Galatians 3 and verse number 13. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus. Now notice, why did Jesus do this? First of all, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, amen, and so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Receiving the promised Holy Spirit, I want to say this to you, it is not to be a one-time encounter. I've had people, they'll tell me, well, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in youth group or something, right? And that's legitimate. But it's not, it was never meant to be a one-time encounter that you just talk about that moment. But it was to be a life of being filled with and led by the Spirit of God. Anybody want to live that life? And I believe that's what the Lord's challenging us to. And one of the reasons he calls us to fast and to pray is, it, even like Melody was sharing, we need to detox. Amen? Of the things that are keeping us from that deep friendship with God through the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Lord wants for us. Amen? We were warned in the scripture not to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now think about that. The only way that I could quench or grieve the Holy Spirit would be to live my life as though he's not here. Amen? Because otherwise, if I live with an awareness of the Holy Spirit, how can I possibly would want to grieve? If I truly love God and I love the Holy Spirit, I would never want to grieve the Spirit of God in my life. Amen? I would not want to quench him either if he's wanting to do something through me or flow through me or speak through me. Are y'all getting where we're going? And it's that living. And I'm telling you, I believe God is calling us to not only live with the awareness of him when we gather together, but to live with an awareness of him in our everyday life. Amen? Amen? To be able to live with an awareness with him at work, at school, in your own home, to live with an awareness of the Holy Spirit. Does anybody want that? Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. Galatians says this, if we will be led by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, how many of you found out, because you live in a fleshly body, how many of you found out, by the way, a fleshly body that was redeemed by the blood to be a temple of the Holy Spirit? Amen? But even putting that aside for a moment, how many of you know just saying no to the desires of your flesh is not easy? Because see, sometimes we emphasize that gets you back under the whole thing of the law. What I have to do and not do. And here's the thing. The Bible says this in Galatians. If you will be led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. How many know when you're really being led by God and you're aware of God and you're listening to his voice and you're following his promptings, you're not going to fulfill the desires of your flesh. Amen. So I encourage you, even though in fasting is a way of you being deliberate and intentional to say no to some things in your life to hear God, make sure you're hearing God while you're doing it. Don't just discipline your flesh. Are y'all with me? But be led by the Spirit of Almighty God. I'm just sharing some things that the Lord was pouring into me this right at this couple of days ago. I keep hearing this Lord say, the best life for every Christian is obviously the Spirit-filled life. Amen? The Spirit-filled life. In fact, not having a relationship or a friendship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit is, the way God calls it in His Word, spiritual adultery. When we don't have a relationship with Him, we are betraying Him. Now, go with me, if you would, to James chapter 4. I know when I said that, I wasn't going to get a lot of amens and hallelujahs and jumping up out of your chairs, but maybe say, oh my, or oh me. But look with me, if you would, at James chapter 4 and verse number 4. I'm sorry, you couldn't be any more blunt than this. You, hello, adulteresses, do you not know, get this now, that friendship with the world is what? Hostility toward God. Do you see that? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture speaks, we looked at this last week, do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. Think about that for just a moment. He jealously desires the spirit he has made to dwell in us, but he gives a greater grace. How many of you are glad for that? Therefore it says, get this now, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. And what happens? He will draw near to you. Amen? Amen? So I encourage you, draw near. Keep drawing near. And he will draw. Do you believe he's the God of his word? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The Passion Translation says this. Listen. The spirit is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us. Isn't that cool? Listen to the Living Bible. The Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, watches over us with tender jealousy. Wow. Beloved, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? I think sometimes only if we knew what we have been given. And today, yesterday actually, when I was just kind of going back over this and what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you today. And as I paused for a moment, just kind of kicked back in my chair and I really felt like the Lord just tried to help me understand, because this language of this yearning for you and yearning for me, for the spirit that's within us. And I began to realize, okay, he wants us to be aware of just the true treasure of what we've received. Are y'all with me? And the true intention of what we've received in God, and that his spirit, and he longs for that, because he longs for the spirit to have the number one seat in our life, amen, to lead us in all that we do. But, you know, God will never come in and take a hold of you and make you serve him. He won't compel you in that way, but you have to yield to the Spirit of God, amen? Amen, to be filled with the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, you have to yield to the Spirit of God at all times. You have to. I was even thinking of this, like if you were at some kind of a fellowship or a party or something hanging out, and you were there with your lover, with your wife, your husband, right? And you just ignored them. Like they weren't even there. How many of you know there's a jealousy? Because it's like, you know, you had time for everybody but me, and I'm your intimate lover. You see what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? I don't have to get more graphic than that, I hope. Okay? Everybody relax, no videos. But we start to see what God is saying. And I think sometimes we wonder, people say, well, how could, you know, jealousy is a horrible thing, but God's jealous. He's jealous for you and me. Amen? And I keep hearing that. You know, don't just go through the mechanics of fasting and prayer and disciplining yourself. Nothing wrong with discipline, but it has to be from a point of worship. I love what it says in the scripture. It says, if you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. Now, religiously, we think, I've got to keep the commandments so that he'll love me. Right? Or to know that I'm loved. Or to prove that I love him. But see, that's not what he asks of us. He asks of us to love him, to worship him. And the byproduct of that is obedience. Amen? Remember the devil came and tempted Jesus? All I need you to do. He knew. He knew that he had usurped man's authority and he had all the kingdoms of the world. Remember that? Yeah. By the way, this is going on at a time of fasting. Hello? He challenged him. And you remember, Jesus said to him, he said, all I need you to do is bow down. I'll give you all the authority and all the kingdoms of the world. They're mine to give to you. And Jesus didn't debate him about that. Of course, he came to take that authority back. Amen. But let me just say this to you, because that was originally given to man, his creation, not to the devil. But let me tell you today, he said, you shall what? Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Notice, The serving comes out of the worship and the love for God. Hallelujah. So I just don't want you, don't do this in a works type of a way. Actually, even in your fasting and prayer, rest. Rest. Amen. And follow God in that way. I believe there's some parallels when you look at Jesus' life and our life and our relation to the Holy Spirit. I just want to bring a couple up to you. Do you remember when the angel came to the Virgin Mary, right? And of course, Mary's like going, how's this going to happen? Because I've not been with a man and blah, blah, blah. And she explained, and the angel said to her, remember what he said to her? He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Remember that? And the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And for this reason, the child will be called the Son of God. Remember that? Well, think about this for just a moment. You and I are born again of the Spirit of God. Amen? We're born of the Spirit of God. We were already born in the flesh. You're here. But you have to be born again of the Spirit of God. There's a lot of parallels when you start to look at how the Lord brought Jesus into the earth in the incarnation and the things we rely upon. Remember when Jesus came to John, Jesus had not sinned, but he came to John the Baptist and said, let it be so to fulfill all righteousness. And so Jesus was baptized. And so when you and I believe in him, we're commanded to be baptized, right? Right? But do you remember what happened at that baptism? The heavens opened. Amen? And John saw the Spirit of God, like in the form of a dove, likened unto a form of a dove, come and reside upon Jesus and rest upon him. But then something else happened. Do you remember? The heavens opened. And a voice came out of heaven. Can you imagine the Father's voice coming out of heaven and saying, you know what it says, say it with me. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Before he did a miracle. Hello. Before he died on the cross. Y'all need to hear this. Before he even did his ministry, the Father said, I am well pleased. Hallelujah. And you might say, well, I wish I could have that. Well, you know what the Spirit says in Romans? The Spirit of adoption says this, that his Spirit testifies to my spirit that I am a child of God. Hallelujah. You can know the voice of God, the Spirit of God, to your human spirit to tell you, you too are a child of God. And all creation is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God to rise up. Somebody say amen. Ladies, you can say amen because this is not a gender specific thing. Hallelujah. Thank you. Come on, say it like a man. No, just kidding. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. I want us to look at how Jesus entered into his fast. Are you ready? Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. Jesus, what's the next word? Everybody say it. Full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about around the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. Man, how many of you know, how many of y'all got hungry 40 minutes into your fast? Right? 40 days, and then he became hungry. And the devil said to him, the first word is key. If. How many know that's how the enemy works, does he not? He wants you to question who you are. He wants you to question the word of God. He's been doing it since Eden. Right? To question what God has said and to question who you are. He says to the Son of God, look what he says to him. He's got a lot of nerve. If you are the Son of God, what does he say? Tell the stones to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And we know. Now, I'm not going to go through the testings today. I may share that at another time. But here's what I want you to see. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into this. You may be into your fast going, why is Pastor having us do this? But let me tell you what. He leads us in it. Now, how many know a desert place is a place of solitude? It's a lonely place, right? But it's actually for a time of testing. You know, we don't like the word testing, but it's one thing to pray and fast, but testing is actually healthy. Because without testing, you don't really know where you are. You don't know where, even where, what you're doing. And without the test, you don't know. I don't know about you, but when I sat down in my classroom in school, the last thing I wanted to hear when the teacher came in, good morning, class, would you clear your desk? Didn't you love the pop quizzes, right? You just love those, right? The ones you weren't prepared for. Like if I'd have known, I would have been prepared. But anyway, that's another story. But let me tell you, even in this time, the devil was there. You know, I'm learning more and more in my life. Now, I'm not glorifying the devil or like the devil or any of his demons. But they're his, they're God's pawn in everything, right? Amen. You could try to blame it on some people, like, for example, that crucified Jesus. All of us crucified Jesus. Amen. We all crucify Jesus, but see, God's just working the system out there through us. He's got a plan. Here's what I love. What does it say in Psalm 23? He will prepare a table in the very presence of our enemies. Jesus in there had a table he was eating from, and he didn't need to turn any stones to bread. Amen? An enemy was trying to get him to abort the fast, even at the end, and he wasn't going to let him do that. But he challenged his identity, like saying, if you don't do this, how could you be the Son of God? Are y'all with me? So Jesus is full of the Spirit. He goes into this time of prayer and fasting and obviously the temptation and the testing. But I want you to look at what happens when he comes out of the fast. So go forward with me to verse 13 there in Luke chapter 4. When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. How many of you are glad? You can just tell those times the enemy's gone. You with me? Hello? Please smile. That's a good thing. But notice what it says, until a more opportune time. This wasn't the only time our Lord, the Bible says, he was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. See, he couldn't be that one that I could come to if he didn't understand the human struggle. Right? But he was tempted in everything, and he passed the test with flying colors, as we say. And he got the victory. But let's keep reading. And Jesus returned to Galilee, everybody say it out loud with me, in the power of the Spirit. Now say it, in the power of the Spirit. He was full of the Spirit and he went into this season. He comes out of this season in the power of the Spirit. And I want to say to you today, the more times you have where you get with God and you seek God, your ministry level and your anointing should increase. Amen? I'm believing that for me, for this church, for all of us, that as we're going to come to a new level of anointing in God. Amen? Amen. And of course, the news about him spread through all the district around him. Here's the thing. Like our Lord, you and I are called to be spirit-born. Amen? To be spirit-filled. Hallelujah. To be spirit-led. And to be spirit-empowered. Hallelujah. Just like our Lord. How could we possibly think we could do the works that he does without the same anointing? Hallelujah. And he's called us to that. I want to encourage you this week, especially for this remainder of the fast, let's allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into a place where he can really do a work in us. Amen? Let's allow him to do that. And what I mean by that is if you've not done it, you maybe already have, but set aside the agendas and make the time to be with him and allow him. I believe he wants to fill us all in a fresh and dynamic way. I believe in the baptism with the Holy Spirit, that initial introduction to the Holy Spirit, but I believe there's many baptisms. I believe there's many infillings. I believe there's many outpourings in ways that God wants to bring us. There's more. Everybody say more. In Jesus' name. To wait before the Lord. You know, sometimes in waiting, you know, we temper. I mentioned Joseph at the end of the altar ministry time. Joseph, I mean, talk about a guy who had to learn how to wait. He saw the end result at the beginning, and boy, it was a roller coaster from then on, right? In and out of prison and sold into slavery and good times and bad, but it's all said and done. It was fulfilled. Amen? So I want to encourage you in these times with the Lord. Psalm 37 says, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. Could it be, please hear my heart, could it be what God has for us to inherit, it's not going to happen without these times of waiting on the Lord. Amen? And again, the verse that I shared with you earlier from Hebrews 3:7, today, if I say today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. How many of you love to hear his voice when you gather with the saints? But how many know he wants you to hear his voice tomorrow and on Tuesday and on a bad day and on a day that's not going anything close to what you thought, but you can still hear his voice. And I believe that's what the Lord wants to tell us, because he is a jealous lover and he's wanting more and more of our lives. Hallelujah. So why don't we respond to his yearnings today? The yearnings of the Holy Spirit of God. Go with me to Luke chapter 11, if you would. Luke 11 and verse number 9. Jesus is teaching here on prayer, and actually, when he teaches it and when he kind of winds it up, you start to realize there was an ultimate to this teaching that he really wanted us to get, and I want you to see it this morning. Let's begin with there in verse number 9 of Luke 11. He says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, say it, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Yeah, there you go. Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? Obviously, the fathers lived in Phoenix. If you then, being evil, get this, know how to give good gifts to your children, say the next three words with me. How much more? Say it again. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There's more. How much more will he give the Holy Spirit? I don't know about you, but I love to read about God's move of his Spirit in past generations and revivals. Don't you? I love to see what's going on around the globe, but I'm also jealous. And I begin to realize, and I know I have the Holy Spirit, and I believe he has me, but I'm like, how much more can we believe for? Hallelujah. Anybody with me? See, God's wanting to raise the bar for us of our expectancy. I shared that with you last week. If you didn't get that word, get it into your heart. We need to live with expectancy, amen, of greater things than these that God has promised for us. I long for my relationship to the Holy Spirit to be more and more dynamic. Don't you? And I'm telling you, our Heavenly Father desires it more than we do. He's yearning with jealousy to find some men and women who will totally yield to his Spirit in all things. Anybody out there a candidate to say, Lord, I volunteer freely in your day of power. Amen. Something very important too is this, and we need to remember this. Jesus, being fully man, he was also fully God, but he was also fully man. And it can be very, very confusing, but Jesus, the Son of God, came and took on human flesh. We know that, right? The very Word of God became flesh in the midst of us. In fact, his messianic title was the Son of Man. Everybody with me? But he was the Son of God, but his title, messianic, was the Son of Man, because he was working in the earthly realm, and that's who the authority had been given to. Are y'all with me? Stay with me now. See, we always want God to intervene, and God says, I want you to stand up and take dominion in the name of the Lord. And that's why he's asking us to believe in him, to do his works, and to follow in his steps. He is a very compassionate and sympathetic Savior and Lord, because, again, he was tempted in all things. Some people might say, well, Lord, the Lord just doesn't know what I'm going through with this struggle in my life. And Jesus would interrupt you and say, I absolutely know what you're going through. Amen? Now, that ought to make us smile to realize our good, good Father, and the Lord Jesus, who revealed the heart of the good, good Father, is saying to us, you could come to me. I am sympathetic towards you in your weakness, and I will give you grace and mercy to help you. You could come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? He's compassionate to you. He always has mercy and grace. Now, go with me over to Philippians 2 to help you understand this just a little bit. We can't go too far into this, but I feel like it's important for us to look at this verse. Philippians 2, verse 5. It says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, get this. Who, although he existed in the form of God, get this, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. One translation said, he laid aside his divine privileges, and he took the form of a bondservant and was made in the likeness of men. Now, isn't that astonishing? Because how many of you know, if Jesus did everything solely because he was the Son of God, then that there's a problem. Then how can I expect to do what he told me to do? Right? Are y'all with me? But he was a man, totally righteous, totally sinless, totally holy, amen, filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And he asked us to come, receive his sacrifice, be made new, be born of the Spirit of God, and receive the Spirit of God, and then go do likewise. Hallelujah. That's what he's called us to do. He was fully walking in that. And frankly, remember, his messianic ministry, we have no record of him doing any messianic ministry until the Holy Spirit came on him. Are y'all with me? And again, I'm not saying he wasn't the Son of God before that, but what I'm saying is, in God, he was being raised up and matured and wisdom and all that. He grew like any man. He had to go through that whole process, and then the Holy Spirit came on him at the time for him to carry out his messianic ministry. And he's anointed you and I to walk with him. Again, this is why the enemy challenged him, if you're the Son of God. Think about that. If you're the Son of God, then let's do some stuff. And I tell you, don't let the enemy do that to you either. Hello? Ladies and men, you are sons of God if you're born again. Hello? You're the sons of God by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, that's your identity. You are in Christ. Hallelujah. I was crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus lives in me. Amen? And I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that's what God's called us to do. But know this, the devil, this world we live in, and even our own flesh will try to cause us to doubt that we're children of God. Will he not? He lives to do that because, see, if he could, what he does that. He gets you kind of unbalanced, right? He gets you wobbling around. And well, the Bible calls it what? Double-mindedness. And when you're double-minded, if you're double-minded about being a child of God, I got news for you. Your prayer life is going to get stalled because you have to be able to pray, Our Father. Amen? Who art in heaven. I have to pray from a mindset that my Heavenly Father is my Father. He's my Abba Father. Amen? And I cry out to that way. And so the enemy works to get us off kilter, off balance, thinking, well, maybe I'm not the child of God. And so we have to be careful to understand that. And I pray, and I'm telling you, if you've struggled with that, ask the Holy Spirit this week, Holy Spirit, communicate to my spirit that I'll know. By the way, that passage is in Romans 8. I don't know the exact verse, but it's in the middle of the chapter, Romans 8, where it says, the Spirit of God will testify to your spirit that you are a child of God. Hallelujah. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you to do that this week, especially, or even today, or even right now. I don't care. Go for it. But I want you to see something here that I felt like the Lord is showing me. When Jesus came out of this time, he was not only, you know, empowered by the Holy Spirit like never before, but he also, I believe, came out assured in his identity as the Son of God. Because as the Son of God, he began to now see what Daddy was doing and to hear what Dad the Father was saying. Are y'all with me? And then he began to do according. He said, I only do what my Father does. I only say what my Father says. Hallelujah. And can I tell you today, if you're a born-again Christian and you have the Spirit of God, you have eyes to see what the Father is doing. You have ears to hear what the Father is saying. Hallelujah. So that we can walk in what God's called us to do. We should expect, and it's already been testified by two different people in this room besides me, we should expect great clarity coming out of this time of fasting. Amen? I want you to expect great clarity in the Spirit, especially as we go forward, and an increase in anointing and power in the Holy Spirit. This is why the Bible says, count it all joy. Count it all joy when? When you get to victory? No. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials and testings and tribulation. Oh, boy. Amen? We're real good at counting out all joy when we get our breakthrough, and we should. But can you? When you got to count it joy, that means it's not a joy that comes naturally. It's not just a reaction to the goodness of God. It's a belief in the goodness of God, even though right now I haven't a clue what God's doing. But I do know this. I'm going to count it all joy. And it says this, and it will produce in you endurance. And endurance or patience will have its perfect work in you. Get this. You will come to a place where you're perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. Now that's the place to live. But we got to know how to count it all joy in this time. So if you don't have anything else to do this week, when you get in your prayer closet and all, just start shouting. Hello? Your family will think you're weird, but go for it. Just start to shout and bless God and celebrate the joy of the Lord. Somebody needs to receive that today. Amen? In the name of the Lord. Let me just say to you, people ask, well, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? I want to tell you very plainly, and you know this, but the Holy Spirit speaks to you through Scripture. Everybody with me? The Holy Spirit will speak to you through prayer. He'll speak to you in times. How many was he speaking to you today during worship? Right? He will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will also speak to us with dreams and visions. Correct? The Holy Spirit will also speak to you through the prophetic gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discernment. The Holy Spirit is a speaking spirit. Amen? He's a revelatory spirit. He's showing and speaking things to us. And that's the beauty of what he's called us to do. And that is the helper who you received. Hallelujah? So you can walk in that. So you can hear God. But you're not going to ever hear God if you don't ever get in his word. Or you ever get before him. And remember what I said to you last week. You can't just say, well, I'm not hearing. You've got to start listening. Amen? And you can't say, well, I'm not seeing anything. Are you looking? Everybody say looking. Everybody say listening. What you're doing, you're leaning in with an expectancy for the voice of God and for the revelation of God to come to your life. And when you do that, then suddenly your heart, the senses of your heart begin to open up to the things of the Spirit of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. What if we ask the Heavenly Father today for more? Amen? Now, we're not saying there's portions of the Holy Spirit that are sitting in heaven waiting. I don't know. Should I go or not? No. He's already here. Hello? You already have what we're asking him is for more of his release in and through our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. More of his leadership in every area of our lives. Hallelujah. How about in our marriage? How about with our children? How about in our relationship? Hallelujah. For the Holy Spirit to come. But what have we asked him for that? What have we asked him? Lord, I want more intimate communion and fellowship with you as promised by the Word of God. What does the Scripture say? Deep calls unto deep. And by the Spirit of God, he promises to show us even the deep things of God. Everybody look at me. God is deep. Hallelujah. You haven't fathomed all the depths of God. So everybody should cry out, Lord, I want to go deeper. Lord, I want to ascend higher and I want to go deeper in the knowledge of you. Amen. I love what he said to Nathanael. And we all know the story. Nathanael was just amazed that Jesus had a word of knowledge about him under a fig tree. And he believed. And Jesus was even astonished. He said, because I said I saw you under the fig tree, you believed. Y'all know what he said next. You will see greater things than these. You will see what? The heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Hallelujah! Greater things than these. Everybody say that. Greater things than these. There's more. What if we ask the Lord also to be filled in a dynamic way? In a fresh way. Now I want to say this to you, and don't misunderstand me. We need to be able to hear the still small voice. Do we not? Because that's the one you'll hear even in a battle, right? You'll hear that with the whirlwind around you, but you can pick up, because see, the sheep hear the shepherd, right? And you'll hear his voice. But I'm telling you, we should also long for some dynamic encounters with the Spirit of God. Amen? The early church had room filling. Are you with me? Room filling and building shaking experiences, being filled with the Spirit. And that group, when the building shook, they had already received the Holy Spirit like we know how to receive him, but they were crying out for more, and God honored it, and it shook the building they were gathered in praying. I'm telling you, God, I believe God wants to bring some dynamic encounters to our lives that are going to change us forever. Are y'all with me? And I'm telling you, it's both. It's not either or. And so I want to encourage you in that. I want us to believe for that in the name of Jesus. Think about this on the day of Pentecost. Y'all know the story. Acts chapter 2, the Spirit is poured out. And you remember the first thing that happened. Do you know what happened first? It says clearly that the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind. And here's what it says. And filled the whole house where they were seated. We forget that. He actually filled the atmosphere around them. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Stay tuned. And then he filled them. But what were they? Come on, guys. They were those ready vessels. Right? That's why they were there. Because remember, Jesus appeared to 500 plus people as resurrected. And he said, get in that upper room. And only 120 did it. About a fourth of the people that saw a dead man walking were hungry enough to go get with God and wait for the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit came in that dramatic, dynamic way, they were already open vessels. And we all know the story. They were all filled with the Spirit. They began to speak in supernatural languages and in unknown tongues. There were tongues as a fire distributed on their heads. I mean, man, this was a blowout. And a crowd gathered and 3,000 people were added to the church in one day. I don't think we could fit 3,000 in here. We're pretty full in here today, but I'm telling you, praise God for that. But I'm telling you guys, there's so much more. Amen? And I just want to encourage you in that. Here's the thing. And I don't want you to get offended at me. I want you to please just hear the word of the Lord. Are you ready? When you open your mouth, your heart will open. Hello? If you keep your mouth closed, because what happens? Out of the abundance of your heart, say it, the mouth speaks. So when you're filled up with God, it's going to come out your mouth. Are you with me? Very, very clear. We draw out of that treasure within us. And I'm telling you today, the mouth speaks out of the abundance of the heart. Look at Psalm 84:4. I'm coming in for a landing, y'all. Hang in there with me. Psalm 84:4. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever, what? Praising you. And then it says what? Selah, Selah. What does that mean? It means to stop and ponder this. Take this in. Meditate on this. Consider this. Okay, so in the house of the Lord, everybody stay with me. In the house of the Lord, what are the blessed people of God doing? Come on. They're ever praising Him. I mean, they're always praising Him. You can't praise Him with your mouth closed. Hello? Hello? And I know all of you have perfect weeks, so you never have to offer a sacrifice of praise. Your life is always this hunky-dory. Right? No. But what are the blessed of the Lord doing? They're ever praising Him. Look at the next verse, though. How blessed is the man, I love this, whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what does that speak to us in the new covenant? Zion is that place where the worshipers gather. Amen. It's not a hill in Jerusalem. Zion is a place where we, the church, come. It's Mount Zion, and it's the place where heaven touches earth. Come on, y'all. Where there's myriads of angels, hallelujah, and the heavenly Jerusalem, and the church of the firstborn, and God the judge of all, and Jesus the mediator of a new covenant is in the midst of us, and His blood is still speaking. Hallelujah. Read your Bible. That's Zion. And He said, you haven't come to Sinai, the law of sin and death anymore. You've come to Mount Zion. He didn't say you're going to Zion. You've come to Zion. In our worship, we establish Mount Zion in the midst of us. In the kingdom of God. And we cry out, kingdom of God, come. And will of God be done today in the midst of us. Hallelujah. And there's a great cloud of witnesses going, somebody's starting to get it. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me? Again, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, do not get drunk with wine. It's carnal. It's fleshly. You may feel good for a moment, but it doesn't last. Anybody found that out? But be what? What's the alternative? Be intoxicated with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Speaking. The gate. Here it is. Speaking to one another. How do we do that? With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. Singing and making. Not listening to Daniel sing. Hello. You speaking and singing and making melody with your heart unto the Lord. Hallelujah. It goes on to say, be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's gather together and be spirit-filled. You might say, I don't know what to do to get stirred up. Sing. Shout. Open your mouth and your heart will open to what God is doing. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You just can't do it with your mouth closed. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit will give you utterances, as we see in the book of Acts. But you still have to speak. Hallelujah. Come on, say amen. It's the truth. Always remember this. Receiving is never passive. I'm not trying to be redundant. We just got to get it. I know I've shared this with you before. But if I walked up to Marvin and handed him a $100 bill, which I would never do that. But now, I shouldn't say that. I'm going to bring you one next Sunday. Oh, I'm going to be out of town. Sorry now. Think about it. Here's how some people receive. I'm just going to give you an example. I walk up to Marvin and say, Marvin, the Lord told me to bless you with this. Oh, well, thank you, brother. And you kind of lay it there on your Bible or whatever, you know, in your lap. And when the service is over, Marvin gets up and walks out, and I look and it's laying on the floor. Did he receive it? No, he didn't receive it. Because to receive is to take hold of it. Amen? It's like this. When God's wind is blowing to catch the wind. Amen? He wants to resuscitate us. He wants to raise us up for a time such as this. And we ought to be a people that have our sails up. Every time we gather together. Amen. I appreciate somebody today that was sharing things on your heart, ministering to one another. I'm telling you guys, it's all the more what we saw today. We need to go to 5.0, 10.0. We need to ramp it up in what God wants to do. Amen. And trust in the wind of God coming. I believe he wants to come in a mighty, mighty way. And we need to take hold of what he's doing. So please, open your mouth and open your heart to what God is doing. Let's ask God to do that and be filled afresh. What does it say? Let everything... We had a Wednesday night group this week. This past week. And I don't know. Maybe 12 or 15 of us, maybe. I didn't really count. We're all down here in the front. But it was dynamic. And we were praying prayer requests and praying for people like we always do. But you know what really said it? We were worshiping. And, you know, Bill's blowing on the saxophone. I'm strumming the guitar. And we're just letting it. And I remember one time I looked up and said, Lord, it's so dynamic tonight. And I'll be honest with you, it's one of those times I didn't even want to come down here. I was tired and weary. And I just didn't feel like coming down here in the flesh. My flesh didn't want to come down here. That's it always is, isn't it? And I came down, but everybody, I looked around one time, and I don't do this a lot. Y'all know I just always have my eyes closed. I'm sorry, I love you. You're beautiful, but I can't look at you while I'm worshiping. But I looked around, everybody in the room had their hands up. Everybody in the room was worshiping. And I tell you, it brought a dimension we haven't had in a long time. See, that's how he wants prayer meetings to be. Amen? Filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Then we'll have a problem of not having to be able to fit everybody into a prayer meeting. Would that be a great problem to have? Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. In 2 Chronicles, they were dedicating the temple. We're not going to turn there. Hank, relax. They were dedicating the temple. And that what we were talking about where the glory cloud came in. Here's what's the setup, really quickly, just to give you a paraphrased Cliff Notes version. All of them gathered together in unity for one purpose. And it says, with the instruments of worship making, and here's the language in the Bible, one sound. Everybody say one sound. And with all the voices in unity, making one voice. Are y'all with me? It said, then, as they sang, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord like a cloud. And again, the Lord spoke to me. I was meditating on it. The Lord spoke to me. I'm going to bring a tsunami of my presence when my people are in one accord. It's the power of agreement. The word for agreement is a Greek word, meaning, I don't know how, if I'm saying it right, but in the Greek, if I just read it phonetically, it is symphonio. It's the word we get for symphony. And I looked it up, and it says in the concordance to make the same sound. Or, no, to sound the same. That's what it says. In the concordance, it says to sound, S-O-U-N-D, the same. Now think about it. What did Jesus say? If just two or more of you gather, even on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and you sound the same, come on, there I am. Come on, there I am in the midst of you. You might say, well, I thought Jesus was sitting at the right hand of God. He is, but he dwells in our hearts and in our midst by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And he's with us today. Hallelujah. So when we begin to sound the same, I'm not trying to, you know, we're not trying to cheerlead you and provoke you, but we are trying to get you, because when the voices begin to rise together, something dynamic happens, and Jesus is in the midst of us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We were sharing in the new members class today. I remember some experiences back when I first started leading worship years ago, 25, 30 years ago, where everybody was singing in the Spirit, and there was this times you could literally tell the angels were joining us. In fact, the people would come to one of those holy moments, like that hush, and you could still hear it reverberating. Right now, I could just feel the presence of God thinking about it. Beloved, that's Mount Zion. By the way, if you don't know where that passage is, it's Hebrews 12. You can go read that, okay? It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Whew. Last verse, and we're going to pray. You ready? Psalm 81:10. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. He's not going to pray. God doesn't have a divine crowbar. For he's going to come down. Right. Marlene, you're going to worship me today, whether you like it or not. You know. Like a dentist putting one of those contraptions in your mouth and you're like, ah! You know what I'm saying? It's the hungry heart. It says, Lord, I don't know what you're pouring out today, but whatever you're pouring out today, I want it. Amen? It's not rocket science, guys. It really isn't. Yeah. Because you know what we want to do? You've seen it too, brother. We want to run down and get the guy that paid the price to get it to lay hands on us. And I believe in impartation. But there's something God wants to do. Wasn't nobody running around laying on hands. They were all just praying. Mouths open, hearts open, and everybody got what everybody got. Y'all with me? Hallelujah. I encourage you today. There are some fresh fillings on our way, even today, in the name of Jesus. Now, something very important before we pray. And we're going to activate this word today with a song, okay? And then you're free to leave if and when you can. Amen? Fair enough? I just ask you to stay with me through the first chorus. How about that? But really important. The Holy Spirit, He does also bring conviction. Okay? Hello? But He never brings condemnation. Because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who what? Walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Are y'all seeing this? So conviction does come. How many been getting some conviction during the fast? I have. God's been dealing with my heart. But it's not for y'all can come on up. Y'all don't look at them while they're getting ready. Please don't. Don't lose me on the last 30 seconds. Well, 30 seconds. But everybody hear me. When the Spirit moves on your heart, He moves on your heart for forgiveness and restoration. Everybody say that. Forgiveness and restoration. It's always about redemptive purposes. Okay? It's not to make you feel bad and make you grovel for the next 5 weeks. Okay? But let me say this to you. In the temple in 2 Chronicles, do you know what they were saying, singing? They were singing, Lord, You are good, simply, and Your mercies endure forever. See, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God that brings the glory. And if you don't have a revelation that He's good, why would you want His glory? I'd be terrified, right? But I know He's good. And the glory He's going to bring, it's going to transform me into His image. Hallelujah. Anybody want to get there? Now, let me say this to you also before we start. And everybody can raise their hand and say amen, but I'm not asking you to do that. We have all lived some of our days where we grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit. We know, but can I say to you today, don't allow that to keep you from drawing near. See, the enemy wants to say, no, you were grieving the Holy Spirit this morning on the way to church yelling at your wife. I wasn't yelling at my wife, by the way. Everybody relax. She was yelling at me. No, hi, baby. Y'all extend your hands toward the pastor. Don't hear my heart. Don't pull back from His love. Draw near. Okay? Draw near. Don't pull back. Draw near. You'll never see God say, you pull back. You disgust me. He'll never say that. Because when He looks at you and me, He looks through the blood of Jesus. You're justified to come before Him. And He's wanting you to come. And think about this again. He yearns with jealousy for you and me and the Spirit that He's placed within us. I want to ask you to do something. I'm not going to ask you to stand unless you want to. God really got me one day. He said, you do know that you don't have to stand the whole time you're worshiping. I go, yeah, but I like to. Because when I sit, I get lazy. And He goes, well, I just want you to know that on the day of Pentecost, they were all sitting when the Holy Spirit came in. And I got offended. Because I'm a charismatic from the 70s, man. We could worship for 3 hours and sit and listen to 3 hours of teaching. And then 3 more hours of altar ministry. And still not be tired. Still go to Denny's. Right? I'm a tough guy. I got longevity. I can stand. I'm not going to sit down. And the Lord said, I told you I don't have to pay attention to these guys. So I went and I looked it up. You know what it says? And the Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I know. And I got to thinking, you know, would you just today just rest in Him? And we're going to sing a song. Now, here's the biggest challenge. It's a song we know really well. It's been very, very popular. It's a powerful song. Okay? But I want you to sing it. I mean, sing those words in prayer to the Father. Would you do that today? and open your heart wide and sing. If you cannot sing, everybody look at me. I don't care, as they say in the South, if you can't carry a tune in the bucket. Okay? There's a verse for you in the Bible, make a joyful noise. That's right, okay? So all mouths open and begin to sing, and let's just see what he's going to do. And you know what? Even after today, I prophesy to you today, there's great encounters coming in your secret place today. And tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. Encounters with God are coming. Amen? But would you just commit to that today? Because this song is so powerful, the words. And I want you to sing it. At any point, if you want to move out and kneel down or come to the front or stand up, you have your liberty. But I want you more than anything to open your heart and open your mouth. Can we do that? Why don't we just begin with a simple prayer, and then we're going to start singing this song together. And I hope I hear a roar of praise coming out of this room. Are you ready? Father, today, in the name of Jesus, we draw near. We draw near to your heart. We draw near to your presence. And we thank you this very day, Lord, that you're pouring forth of your spirit. Hold on, Bill. We pray, Father God, for the power of your spirit more than we've ever known before. More than we've ever known before. Come on, somebody agree with me right now. More, Lord. We know you are a good heavenly Father. And you want more of your Holy Spirit. You want more of your Holy Spirit to be loosed in us, Lord God. And I pray, Father, for more of your Holy Spirit to come. Come on, keep praying with me right now. Keep praying with me right now. More, Lord. We want more of your Spirit to flow in and through our hearts and lives. We yearn, Lord, for what you yearn for. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come, come, come. Come, come, come. Express your heart right now to the Father. Express your heart right now. More, Lord Jesus. More, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for encounters in the secret place. I pray for encounters today in this house. Come and flood this place and fill the atmosphere. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's sing together right now and open your heart.
Thank you.
I know you desire this. Pray it. Pray it again. Pray it again. Let us become
more aware
of your prayer. Every day, every day. Let us
experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become
more aware
of your presence. Let us experience the glory.
Lift your face to heaven and sing it. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come from this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord! Oh, oh, your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Lord.
Cry out for your home. Cry out for your family. Come on, lift up your voice.
Presence, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Woo! Jesus!
Hallelujah. For you are good. You are good. And your love endures.
You are good. You are good. And your love endures.
You are good. You are good. And your love endures. Today. Declare you are good.
For you are good. You are good. And your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If the Lord's showing you anything or giving you something, come down front and use the mic. Use the mic so we can hear you, please. Come on. Come on, just right now. Just anything the Lord's showing you would be an exhortation or a revelation right now. Susan, you want to share that?
When the Lord was ministering to us earlier about the rest of God, Daniel remembered the Bob Jones prophecy from 2014. He was prophesying about 2020. He passed away in 2014, so I'm not exactly sure when he got the word, but this was the word. This is, it was about 2020, about this year, and he had to have received this word over 6 years ago. The 2020s will reveal the rest of God. We as the body will come into a place of resting in God, where God will rest in us. In this rest, the enemy will not be able to do warfare, because we are resting in God. And he is resting in us. And he will accomplish the things he means to do in a people that is at rest. He has always watched a people that will come into his rest. But there never has been one. But it's on the way. And it's here. It's 2020. And I just want to also say that when I read that, the Lord told me that too many times we quickly engage the enemy. Sometimes all he wants to do is draw us out of our rest. Sometimes we just have to tell him no, get lost. Just like mom does. Yeah, stay hidden in Jesus. Amen. Amen.
About being hidden in Jesus, Jesus is the armor of God. Right? We try to piece it out, but he is our righteousness. He's the breastplate. He is our salvation. He's the helmet. Are y'all with me? hide in Jesus. That's the secret. Amen. He is the armor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have something?
As we were worshiping, I just saw the open gate, and I just saw just the table being set up, and I just saw all of us just sitting there, and just the host of angels surrounded us as well. And I just heard the Lord say, this is the year of my chronicle. This is the year of miracles and the wonders. This is the time when the wonders are going to open up, and it's going to be through us, says the Lord. It's going to be through us.
Come on, say amen to that over your life. Say, so be it unto me. Come on. Say, be it unto me and my family, my home. Come on, wherever you need it. Come on, speak it right now. Be it unto me, Lord. We respond to you, Lord. We respond to you, Lord. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. You got something, dear?
So I've been struggling with my oldest son, Reese, about listening and being able to do good. And we're talking about with him, look at me. Look at me. Make eye contact with me when I'm talking to you so I can have a conversation with you and hear what, and you know, I know that you heard what I told you. And I'm sitting back there and God's going, yeah. Hey, daddy lessons. Listen, he's looking at you. He's making eye contact with you right now. And he's saying, I love you. And we're doing this. And he's saying, look at me, make eye contact with me, look me in the face, and you will hear that I love you. And you will know that I love you. And then we can have a conversation. And then we can talk about stuff. Because that's all I want to do is just talk about stuff with you and have you know how much I love you.
Today we've been talking about rest, and just as Pastor Rick was sharing all day about rest, just a second ago, God says, look it up, look it up. And this is taken from Genesis 2, 2 and 3. This is when God had finished creation, and he ceased from all the work of creation. This is from a Jewish site. I wouldn't even say it's messianic in nature. This is the Hebrew word used here, and I'm going to butcher it, menucha. And the rest is an inadequate translation. To say that Shabbat menucha means a Sabbath of rest only tells half the story. In this Shabbat liturgy, we are given a more complete, many-layered understanding of the word. It is a rest of love freely given, a rest of truth and sincerity, a rest in peace and tranquility and quietude and safety. Yet at the same time, it is a rest yoked in the same breath to holiness. And inextricably linked to the concept is the fact that this rest comes from the Almighty and exists so that we might glorify God's name to bring holiness to Father. Wow.
Hallelujah. 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 Okay, let's do this. Everybody stand up. Turn around and just to somebody, grab their hands in front of you. Like in twos and threes, maybe. Whatever's easier. Just to don't leave anybody just standing by themselves. Come on. Just are y'all ready? I want you to be able to make eye contact with one another, okay? I know you're thinking, why are you doing this to me? Are you ready? Now I want you to speak to one another. You ready? Are you ready? Here we go. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon yours. The Lord be gracious unto you. More of the Holy Spirit be upon you, on your family, and on your abode. Even this day, even this week, peace be to you. Shalom be yours. Healing be yours. Victory be yours. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you, everyone. Hallelujah. Hey, lift up your voice every time you get in prayer and fasting. Lift up your voice and sing that song and invite the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want to hear about how you have encounters with God this week. Amen. Hallelujah. Love you guys.